Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We are on tonight with our dear friend, Pastor Mary Shelnut, and we've got some very important information. We titled this show, we hope to get the attention of parents who have been fighting for their children who are very concerned with what's going on in education, parents, grandparents, people that love children. It is time that we open our eyes to the truth. And we've got some things that we hopefully can share with you to help you in the fight. But first of all, I'd like to ask Pastor Mary if she'll start us with a prayer.
Yes, amen. We'd love to. Father, we just come before you now, in the name of Jesus, I just praise you. We thank you so much, Father, for your mercy, grace, and truth. And Father, as we come on the air tonight, we lift up our children. Sharing truth with the listeners and the viewers tonight, Lord, those who are first allowed to understand what you're saying.
Grace. Pastor Mary, I'm sorry we're losing you, but go ahead. Maybe you can hear you better. Try again.
Oh, goodness. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's my connection or what, because it's not always that good. All right, can you hear me okay?
Okay, now I can hear you. I can hear you okay now.
Okay. All right. Do I need to pray over, or do we get the prayer in? Did it go through?
I'm sure God heard you. I heard part of it, but at the end it was kind of weaving in and out. We'll pray again at the end, and we thank God. He knows that we need his help. We're praying to him, and I think Mark is on with us. Hi, Mark. Coach Prazek, are you on?
I'm standing by. How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing well. We've got Pastor Mary. We've got Mark Prazek, and we've got God. So we are complete. So Miss Barbara Moore, dear Miss Barbara Moore, could not join us today. She is our teacher. She's been under the weather. I had a lot of things going on, but I think she's on the mend. So anyway, we'll get started. And we're just grateful for this opportunity. And really, we hope everybody will join us and go to hopeinc.tv. That's our website where we've got this blog talk radio, so you can hear to the podcast of this. And there's so many things going on in the world that, unfortunately, our conservative voices are being diminished. And so we have this website where we hope you can tune into our podcast. We have a free app that you can put on your phone. You just have it on your desktop, computer, tablet. And with one click, there's so many links to some really wonderful things. And one of them is called Resilified. If you have got children that have been through this Common Core mess and you're seeing them develop stress, that is such a wonderful tool. And I think right now it is still free. It was developed by our dear friend Joan Landis, who is a mental health counselor. She's been doing this for 30 years. She is an expert. I call her a mental health expert. She saw Common Core 7 years ago and warned us of the harm. And she is 100% right. 110% right. Everything that she said, it was, it is, and unfortunately has come true. She warned us. But the Resilified is on the website, hopeinc.tv. So play around there and you'll find it. And we've got some videos to get people that do not know what Common Core is, hopefully on track. But today, the show is really about a tool that we can use to fight for the war against our children, the war on children. And the tool is called truth. And Mark, Coach Prezek, you are a man that's been putting out truth. You have your media presence on Twitter, and you've been proclaiming truth, as a matter of fact, every night of the week. If you don't mind, talk a little bit about what you're doing on Twitter.
Well, the landscape on Twitter, as well as other social media, has become rather, I would say, adverse, but that may not be a strong enough word. Hostile could well be a more accurate description. We are seeing people being disciplined on Twitter for quoting scripture. We are seeing people being disciplined for using the same words the other side uses, but simply changing the context instead of just, you know, when they're talking about white or black, they simply reverse. And when it's reversed, it becomes hate speech, but it's okay if it comes from the other side. So it's getting harder and harder. And Twitter has legitimately taken measures. Well, I say legitimately. The narrative that somehow 11 Russian bots interfered with and manipulated an election, they are taking actions which make it harder to use the technology and the leverage that that provided for PJNet. So we're having to find alternate ways to be heard, but quite frankly, it's going to be at a diminished level of efficacy. So we're experimenting with several different things, and the focus right now is we're going to continue to proclaim the truth, but we're having to do it in a way that keeps us under the radar of disciplinary action. So we're laying kind of low. We're keeping our heads down, although we're sending out lots of messages, but not the same as it used to be. We're looking hard. I've been working for weeks and, in fact, months at this point on end, in developing a studio presence where we can penetrate other venues such as YouTube, but not only just social media, but also the idea of literally taking the message to the streets in a live environment where we are not shackled by the constraints of ambiguous and even contradictory and unevenly applied hostile rules. Terms of service in social media platforms such as Twitter, such as YouTube, and also including Facebook, as well as others. But so we're looking to literally take our message to the streets. Now, that's kind of a expensive and inefficient way to do it. But I am extremely excited about it because now what was once simply a digital and electronic experience, albeit a good one, we will now be able to go directly to neighborhoods, directly to communities, directly to church leadership, directly to venues, and have, I mean, some fun. But it is rather costly, and it's less efficient. But I think, we have to be good stewards of the tools that we have. So if that is the opportunity that's in front of us, then I embrace it, and I am racing toward it, but it is, it's going to take some commitment, some financial commitment, but we are making progress week by week, month by month, and we're hoping that by next year we'll be able to relaunch and attract new audiences that we never could have gotten on Twitter before.
Wow. I'm looking forward to that, which I think me and Pastor Mary had talked a little bit somewhat about that earlier, that, truth is so important. And we were saying that, you know, we're really fighting about a mainstream media or really a highway for lies being put out by our mainstream media, newspapers, radio, colleges, schools with Channel One. Right, and Facebook and Twitter. I mean, if you are going with their agenda, then you've got to pass. But if you're on the other side, then you're pretty much marked, and your reach is diminished. And that is why we're so excited too about HopeInc.tv, because we're going to be able to use that to tell people about what you're doing, Mark, on Twitter and otherwise, as you go do your latest thing. And also Pastor Mary, you know, she's going to have her and other pastors join in and do shows on there. And we just see a lot of things that we can do because truth is important. And in today's world, that's really what is being diminished. Truth, they're trying to stomp on truth, but it is really the most powerful weapon, right? Nothing new under the sun, Pastor Mary.
Absolutely. Nothing new under the sun. And, you know, in 1 John 4, I believe it's 4 and I believe it's 6, it talks about how we are the children of God. And he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God hears not us. And that's what we're seeing, you know, happening right now. But this is the most important thing, Diana, is he says, hereby know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We have to know the spirit of truth, and we have to know that. But I was listening to Mark, and it just reminded me of that verse, because the spirit of truth and the spirit of error is in operation right now. We're watching it, seeing it right before our eyes. And if you're not on a certain side, you know, they're going to reject you. You know, if you're on the side of truth, you're going to be rejected. Because the spirit of error is going to listen to those who are in error. Yeah. So we have a lot of work to do. And I thank God for Hope Inc. I truly do, because it gives us a tool, an avenue that we can come on. And I know God is going to have somebody even tonight to hear words that is going to be encouraging to them. And it's going to put a fire under them. I pray that God just put a fire up on the body of Christ, the Christians, where we were, like Mark said, we start knocking on doors, and, you know, we get out there in the communities and we just, you know, minister truth to people, because the truth is what everything else is going down. Always stand on truth. No matter how many people reject truth, it's still truth, no matter how many reject it. So we have to minister truth. We have to speak truth. We have to, encourage people, encourage them in the truth, encourage them in truth, because the spirit of error is moving rapidly in our land, truly is.
And Pastor Mayor, we were talking earlier about the scripture, my people perish for lack of knowledge, and because they have rejected my knowledge, I will also forget their children. That's Hosea 4:6. And I think we're seeing that play out in this country. We're wondering, why are the children in trouble? Well, we have rejected knowledge. We have rejected God and put them out of our courthouses, put them out of our schools. And so we're reaping what we have sown. But then there's the other part of that scripture, Pastor Mary, if you don't mind, I think that's a very good one, because there's a lot of people that probably they do feel guilty. I have not done this. I have not stood up for truth. I have allowed the children to be harmed. And you know, it's so hard to face the truth that I was a part of it, you know, part of a system. But there's really a way out. God provides that. And you had really spoken a bit of that. Would you mind sharing?
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, I had to really go and repent, because, and you know, a lot of times, you know, Matthew 22:29, this verse has become one of my favorite verses, because it ministered to me. He says, my people err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And many times, you know, we are making things worse because we don't know. We're supporting something that is not good. And that's that's where I was at one point in my life. You know, and I was actually part of the problem. But you know what I love about God, Diana, is that, you know, those who really have a hunger for God, and if God will lead you to truth, he will lead you to truth. That's why he, you know, it says in the scripture for us to be hungry for God and hungry for truth, because when you are hungry for it, even when you're in error, God will lead you to the truth. And so that's what we want to do tonight. I was reading earlier about Esther. You know, Esther, when she realized that there was a huge problem, this was huge. I mean, her people was about to be destroyed. And Esther, she knew in order for her to get victory in this situation, what she did was she first told them, she said, listen, I want you to go and gather the people together. Gather the people together. And that was so significant because, see, you know, we have to come together. We really do have to come together. And Esther, she sent out this this message. He says, gather the people together, all them that are in the presence. And what I notice about that is I'm thinking, wow, in the presence? You know, she says, gather them together, all the Jews that are in the presence in Shashun, however you pronounce that. And but what got my attention in the presence, that are in the presence, I began to notice that, like with us, we're in the present, we're in right now. I mean, she wanted to get the people that knows what's going on with the situation. Get those people who are in the present, who knows, like right now, we're speaking to somebody who are in the present. You already know what the situation is. You know what the problem is. You know we have a problem with Common Core. You know we have a problem with suicide with our children. You're in the presence. You know what's going on. And she says, listen, get those people together. Let's come together. And what she realized is that not only was that we must come together, but she says, listen, we're going to have to fast and pray for 3 days. Let's fast and pray. And what Esther realized, just like many of us, we realize that you cannot conquer your demons through, you got to first go in the spirit realm to conquer your demons. And she realized that. She knew that she just couldn't go before the king. She couldn't go before the king, just go before him. Well, I'm going to go talk to him and I'm going to tell him don't harm my people. She had to first go into the spirit realm and conquer that demon. And then, and that's what I love. I love that because I'm looking at now, Diana, we're in the presence. And, you know, it's not a king that we got to go for before. We got to go before Goliath. We're going before Goliath. And in order to take Goliath's head off, we got to go first into the spirit realm. And we got to get the people together. We got to make the plea. She sent this plea out. She plead with the people to come together and let's fast and pray. And I say that tonight to those who are listening. Let's come together. Let's fast and pray. But, you know, it doesn't stop right there with fasting and praying. It does not stop because nothing can be done without God. Nothing can be done without God. And once we go in and we fast and pray and we make our petition known before the Lord, then we can go stand before Goliath.
Wow, I love
Goliath.
That. Oh, well, that's it. That's the first time. Tool. I'm looking at tools, and we want people to write this down. As Pastor Mary stated, one of the first tools is really to pray. And I think about the Founding Fathers, and Benjamin Franklin had told them in the Continental Congress when they were having a hard time coming together to form a constitution that, you know, we've forgotten our powerful friend. We need to, the Father of Lights. We need him to give us wisdom. We need to pray every day in the halls of Congress.
Amen.
And so, Mark, I think of that, you know, it's like reinventing the wheel. We can really look at the Founding Fathers and say, how did they manage to become the best? How did they manage to fight the greatest foe alive at that time? And I think of you, Mark, would, you know, remember the story of Mordecai. And I think of you somewhat like a Mordecai because you're calling out there. And I want to hear your thoughts on that and kind of on what she has said. And what are your thoughts?
Well, there's a lot of ways you can go with that, Diana. I will say this. There are example after example in the Bible, and I don't think they're there without a reason, of overcoming overwhelming odds. And we can sit here and truthfully discuss what we're up against and how powerful these forces are. But my favorite verse or account in the Bible, and it's not a parable, it's not a story, it actually happened, is Hezekiah. You know, the Israelites were being defeated city by city by city. And I forget the name of the city, but Hezekiah was basically the mayor of the city, and they were surrounded by the enemy. And the enemy, they had the town besieged, and they said, come get the terms of surrender. Well, Hezekiah didn't even go himself. He sent his captains and lieutenants out there to get the terms of surrender. Now, keep in mind, they're powerless. They don't have the weapons. They're surrounded. They're cut off. There is literally no hope. And I'm thinking to myself, if I were the mayor or the captain or the general or whoever's in charge, I would be trying to find, is there a way we can slip out of here at night? Or is there some secret weapon? Or I would be probing them for some weakness. But instead, Hezekiah gets the terms of surrender and calls a town meeting. And he says, here are the terms that the enemy has presented us. I really believe he had not even read them. It doesn't say whether he read them or not, but it certainly didn't say what the terms were. But I personally believe that Hezekiah did not read them. He then placed those on the altar and petitioned God, and he literally retired for the evening. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have a hard time sleeping surrounded by an overwhelming enemy. The next morning, they wake up, and God dispatched a single angel and 175,000 enemy troops lay dead the next morning. Now, you say, Mark, that's just a fantasy. I don't even believe that happened. Well, I do believe it happened, and I think it happened exactly that way, including some of my extra-biblical opinions. Folks, I don't care what we're up against. The Bible tells us that we are not to operate from a spirit of fear.
Amen. Right.
Let that sink in. We are not to operate under a spirit of fear, but of power. Well, you know, when we talk about how bad things are, and honestly, they are bad, but sometimes I think we need to remind ourselves that we are victorious. We stand with the living God. God is not too worried about this. It is not, you know, we are taken by surprise. Now, I could go on and cite numerous accounts of overwhelming odds that seemed that doom was upon us, when in fact it was not. So I would say, or I encourage myself, and I have to challenge myself, to not become possessed with the bad news. Now, not to be in denial of it either. We are to fight back. It's not God's responsibility to fight for us. But Hezekiah simply said, oh, God, you know, here, I got to go to bed. Would you take care of this while I'm sleeping? And God did. And I could go on and on, but I would just encourage everybody. I first encourage myself to be bold and do not fear and do not dwell on negative and defeatist outcomes, but instead remain positive and remain powerful. But we won the victory 2,000 years ago. We are simply down here running the clock out.
Wow. Well, I think this leads on to something that I have been kind of in my mind learning a lesson from God. I heard this a long time ago from Joni Erickson Tada about, she was talking about the scripture in Revelation, is it 21:8, where it lists who is going to that fiery lake of whatever, the lake of fire. Mm-hmm. And the very first one mentioned was the cowardly. And that was before the unbelievers, before the murderers, the idolaters, the liars. And I'm thinking, you know, God does things on a purpose. Nothing's wasted. So I was thinking, why would he put the cowardly as the first? Why is it that big a deal? You know, why? But now, right now, when I see what's happening to the children, Mark, and Pastor Mary, I can understand why God put it there, and I can understand why he says it's better to hang a millstone around our neck and be thrown to the depth of the sea than to lead the little ones to sin, because the children are so easily ignored. And I think he's putting them on that status of, they are important to me. They matter to me, and you better watch how you treat them, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, whoa, okay, Lord, like you said, Mark, we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But with that in mind, of how powerfully God has put that we have to really be bold for these children because it has eternal implications, I think that is a powerful thought and really warning to everyone, because there are even those right now in the education system who have really seen by now. It's, I mean, Common Core has been in since 2000, really, I guess, in the school system, probably 2012. It took them a couple years, you know, this made-up Common Core standards that wasn't even on in a book. They said it's been touted as, you know, tested, but it wasn't even in a book until, I think, 2011. So, but it was touted as that, and the state signed on to it. And, but by now, a lot of teachers have found out and are crying because it's really very, very harmful to the children and harmful to them. But the problem is, we need them to speak up. We need them to understand that it's not just a lesson plan. It's not just a standard that's the problem. It's really they've been corralled like parents have been corralled to thinking this is good. We have all been corralled, and they have a part to play. That's why the you know, these things in the summertime where they go and they're taught how to teach better, development programs, I can't think of what they're called right now, but these were never really going to make them better teachers, to better be able to teach the standards. You know, I think some of them think that if we had just been taught better, you know, if the IEPs weren't so confusing, that it would be better. But I think they missed out on the fact, and I think it's because of the cheerleading from all these superintendents and, you know, the state boards of education and many of the governors that were suckered in. I mean, because, you know, everybody wants to help the children. It sounds like a good cause. Everybody can be on board. But everybody really got suckered in because they knew as a nation we care about our children. We want to improve everything for our children. You know, every generation wants to make it easier or better for the next generation. You know, that's why our men sacrifice and give of their lives. It's for their children and their children's children. You know, that's really what they're dying for. But I think these teachers, really, their eyes need to be open, because if they would speak up, and I know a lot of them are afraid they're going to lose their job, but there's power in stating the truth. And I can't help but think, because God says, I am a God of truth, then when you use the truth that this is harming these children and speak in numbers, I think something would be done in the States if you speak in numbers and speak out
in
boldly,
numbers.
courageously. Because God says that, right? He says, do not, being a coward is not a good thing in God's eyes. And these teachers, many of them, I hate to say it, they're like a lot of us. Yes, we're scared. We're terrified of a lot of things. But at some point, I think, is there not a cause worth standing up for? If I, kind of like Esther, right, Pastor Mary?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know, Diane, I'm reminded of a verse in Isaiah 43, 26 and 27. It says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. You was talking about how, you know, if the teachers would come together, the voices would come together. It's, you know, remind me, Lord, that let us come together. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. But look what 27 says. It says, thy fathers have sinned and thy teachers have transgressed against me. You know, we got to come together. We got to come together, and we got to plead this cause. We have to, you know, there's strength in numbers. And when we come together is when the teachers are not fearful, and when the parents are not fearful, and when, you know, that's why I thank God that we have a president that says, listen, I'm with you about Common Core. You know, I mean, you don't have to be afraid no more to stand up and cry. We have somebody standing with us. You know, the president is standing with us. And so we as a community, parents and teachers, you know, this is our time. This is really our time. And like Mark was saying, we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to be scared of Goliath because he's already defeated in the name of Jesus. But what we have to do is we have to come together and we have to plead our cause. We have to do that. We have to open our mouth and speak boldly for God. Proverbs 28:1, he says, be bold as a lion. We have to be that, you know. We truly have to be bold right now because we see it on Twitter. We see it on Facebook. As Mark was saying, people are rejecting the word. They're rejecting truth. You know, I mean, they don't want to hear truth. The scriptures in Amos, the 8th chapter, he said there will be a time when there will be a famine of bread, not famine of bread, but a thirst for hearing the words of God. We're in that day right now. We're in that time where people don't want to hear. You tell them the word of God, they don't want to hear that. And they'll tell you quick. I've had some of my Christian friends and family say, oh, you know, that's supposed to be church and state separated. You know, we don't want to hear, you know, and so they are rejecting the word. But we, as the body of Christ, we must continue to plead the cause. We must continue to make our petition known unto the Lord. We must continue to come together like we're doing tonight. We must continue to remind the teachers and to bring into their remembrance that we have to stand for truth and we have to open our mouths and not be afraid anymore to stand up at the faculty meetings, at the council meetings, not be afraid to open up and say, listen, guys, this is not working. This is not working. And what can we do to make a change? What can we do to make a difference? Because there's a support team. There's a support team out here that's saying we will stand with you, whatever it takes, turned around. So, I read that verse and I thought, God, this is so powerful because it says, thy first fathers have sinned and thy teachers have transgressed against me. And you know, there's so many out there like me. I was one of those people who were just so clueless and not really realizing that our children was being used for pawns, laws was being changed, things was being implemented into our school, and they was using the children to say, oh, this is going to be good for the children, and it turned out to be the worst thing ever. You know, anytime you take God out of school, anytime you take prayer out of school, anytime you take teachers of the word of God out of school, anytime you can't even say the Pledge of Allegiance, you know that our country is going left and not going right. So we as a people and as the body of Christ, we have to come together and we have to stand firm and plead the call. That's what Esther said. Listen, gather everybody together. Gather everybody together. You know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to fast and pray. And then I'm going to go and stand before the King. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And I'm thinking too, Mark, you know, I remember, you know, the pledge by Ronald Reagan, never again. I remember watching a video of him making a speech on Bergen-Belsen, and he was talking about under one of these markers lies Anne Frank. And Anne Frank, you know, was that young lady who, along with her family, were hiding, you know, from Hitler's army, but they were found out. And she was so young, but she wrote in her book that she's, you know, I cannot believe that there's not good still out there, something to the effect, you know, that in spite of her being in that situation of being pretty much held captive, right, her and her family, with all the chaos, that she still, you know, had the ability to believe that someday somebody or some people is going to, I guess, fight for right. And I think Ronald Reagan is, you know, when he ends his speech, you know, he's wanting us to remember the likes of Anne Frank. They're young people. And really, that's the stage where we're at. We're seeing our young people, no, they're not being killed by the Germans. They're not being gassed by the Germans. But what have we allowed? These children are dying in their minds and dying physically. The suicide rate is such an abomination that since 2011, it has skyrocketed. It is now twice the rate that it was back in 2008, but it really went up in 2011. And it, because part of it, and they have already attributed it in many articles, part of it is because of the stress with a common core. And I'm thinking to myself, that ought to make parents and teachers children decide enough is enough. We can't do this to our children, Mark. I'm sure there are parents out there, don't you think, that are saying enough, and teachers too.
Yeah, it is, but it's symptomatic of a much broader problem, something that I have to remind myself of, and I try to remind others. The problem is actually not Common Core. The problem is not a legislative problem. The problem is not a money problem that our schools are not well funded enough. The problem is not a judicial problem. The bottom line is that the problem is actually spiritual. So if the problem is spiritual, we then would need a spiritual solution. So I would argue that however we find ourselves with the schools, well, the schools are now acting as parents. Well, one of the reasons the school is acting as parents is we have mothers and fathers who are making babies with no idea how to be parents, and they're quite willing to abdicate their responsibility as parents to the school. There are more mature parents who simply object to the teaching at school. For example, my daughter went to a charter school, but it wasn't a private school. And of course they were teaching evolution. Well, my duty as a parent was to inform her and counter program what they were teaching in school. So you can complain about what they're teaching in school and you would be right. But if you are not counter programming and taking responsibility for the education of your own child, spiritually and educationally, then I think I have little respect for your complaining. It's not the job of the schools to raise our children. Never has been. God had, that's nowhere in God's plan.
No, you're
so
right.
We just make babies and then hand them over to the schools. Well, that's a spiritual problem, folks.
Yeah, it is.
We agree.
Yeah. I agree with you, but you know, coming from my side of the world, I can truly thank God for godly teachers, and you know, I'm telling you something. A lot of like you said, a lot of these parents are having babies that don't even know how to be a parent, and sometimes the school is a saving place. I'm telling you, Mark. I mean, I had a great mother too. Thank God, I had a good mother who loved God and who taught me what was right. But a lot of my friends didn't have. I had a friend, my very, very best friend. Her mother was an alcoholic. And, you know, I mean, you know, you got a lot of children out there. If school wasn't grounded like it needs to be, where are they going to get it? Where are they going to get it? That's why it's so important. I think that's why the enemy has attacked schools the way he has attacked our schools and why he has infiltrated our schools with nonsense teachings, you know, because the Spirit of God needs to be in our schools because there are so many who are lost, so many parents who are lost, and they're not praying with their children. They're not teaching them. They're not that falls on those who are, you know, like us in the neighborhood who's going to be strong. I mean, my mom, my best friend, she used to just practically live at our house. My mom had to feed her because she would eat out of the trash can. I mean, she was hungry. You know, and the only time she could eat was when she went to school. The only time she heard about God was when she went to school, you know, or when she was at our house. So, you know, I that's why it's my passion to really pray and plead to the body of Christ that we come together. And I know, school is not the answer, but it's just good to know that there's a foundation there. There should be, you know, it was implemented. Our country was founded. The schools were, you look at Little House on the Prairie, and it makes you think about how schools used to be, you know, where they, when they went to school, they prayed. They said the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, they had little minutes where the word of God was going forth. And so to take that out of school is like taking life from the children. So we as people,
And I would like to add to that, too, Pastor Mary, in agreement with what you just said about the foundation. I'm thinking, you know, the old Deluder Satan Act was the first law made for education, and it was so that children could learn how to read, so that could compare the the Word of God with what is going on around them. So we have completely changed the purpose of education. It's now for, you know, it's for business, you know, so they can have their future workers. And it's also for the, you know, let's face it, it's for the socialists so that they can have their future voters. You won't have two parties. There'll be a Democrat party, a socialist party, whatever. So, you know, let's face the facts. That's really the purpose of education these days. And I think about what dear Professor Wayne Wood, a teacher, said to me. He says, you know, you occupy until he comes, until Jesus comes. He says, you know, the word occupy is not sitting there taking up space on the ground. He says, you're actually fighting, you're moving. And I think we've got the problem of, yeah, they're not hearing this stuff in school. We got to fight for that. We got to share the gospel so that more parents would know the right way to raise those children, right? But at the same time, we cannot, I think we also have, in this great country, we were given the privilege of having an education based rightly on the Word of God. We have allowed for that to be stolen. And so really the results are now going counterproductive, because that's what the enemy likes. You know, he likes to take the truth and turn it into lies, right? Nothing. And which is really the basis of the show, why truth is important. And I am so thankful that you proclaim that truth, because I see it on Twitter. It does matter, because there's an awful lot of people that watches it, that sees it. And then there's things that we're trying to post on Facebook and now HopeInc.tv, where we've got a news magazine. We're putting forth, you know, news articles on conservatives issues, you know, with a conservative mind thought, because they're not getting it on a lot of these Facebook pages. So we are inviting the listeners. One of the biggest tool you can have to fight in your state for your children is really truth. If the truth is not being said, these children that are listening to Channel 1, that's one of the basic things we all need to get rid of. Channel 1 should not be a platform for CNN fake news, where all they do is really, they're hateful to the president. You know, all they do is promote lies. They're really a waste of money, but you and I are paying for it. I think that is one of the most important thing that we can do, is let our states know the truth. CNN should not be on Channel 1. It should not be broadcasting lies to our children who wants to vote a certain way because they've heard Trump is a liar. We don't need that border, because we need to be a globalist. We need to open our borders. They're not getting the truth about Venezuela. They're not getting the truth about what Hugo Chavez did. That, you know, they're promoting him as a hero. So truth, ladies and gentlemen, parents, whoever you are that's listening, you know, first of all, as was mentioned earlier, we have to really face up to it. This is a nation founded on the Word of God. If we undo that, then we've lost it all. We can be just another country that's lost in darkness like the rest of the world, most of the world is, because that is what makes America different. We are founded in the Word of God, and we have to treat each other rightly, because God tells us to treat each other rightly. So don't sneeze at the Word of God, even if you're an atheist, because that's why you're supposed to be treated well in this country. You have the choice to believe. God does not force you to believe. We don't force you to believe. It's up to you to believe what you want to believe. But, you know, we've got to have that freedom of the foundation to be proclaimed. So prayer is the most important thing. It matters to God that we humble ourselves and come to Him for assistance, from little things like, you know, food on the table, to big things like, you know, how can I help my child live in this world? I mean, I can homeschool him, but then once he's grown and he steps out, it could be like a Kate Steinle, you know, and somebody out of the blue just shoot. Can you imagine if we do not intervene and help with the education system, which is really mass indoctrination towards evil? If we don't go in there and change that, the children that we try to homeschool and raise in the very best way is going to walk out of their door surrounded by people with that kind of mindset. Now, how, Pastor Mary, Mark, how have we improved things if that's what happens? Dr. Mayor?
No.
I'm all right.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead. Praise God. Yeah, Mark. I'll let you go, Mark.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of ways you can go with that, but the directive, you know, we're trying to solve the problem, as I said earlier. You know, I think I'm not in favor of abandoning arenas where we wage battle against evil, or I'm not in favor of abandoning the proclamation of truth on social media. But I think that we have to be good stewards of the tools that we have and use them and let God, you know, fight for us and with us. And even David just simply used what he had available to him. It was certainly no match for Goliath. But when God gets involved, that changes the equation. And I'm, you know, I will have to confess that I look to technology as a tool, as a lever to amplify our voice. And maybe, you know, we need to be reminded that God just wants us to use those tools. He's the one that does the work, but, you know, especially, you know, myself, I get very deep involved in engineering and coming up with stuff. And the engineering isn't the power. The power is the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. It's so true. And Diana, you said it, you know, earlier about prayer. You know, prayer is one of those tools that, you know, we can't. Luke 18:1 says men should always pray. So that means, you know, it's never ending, no matter what. Even in victories, even when things are going good, you know, we should really continue in prayer. And Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in all everything, be in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And so we, you know, we have to always continue to stay in prayer, pray over our children, and faith without works is dead. You know, we just can't leave it right there. We just can't pray and then don't do anything. We have to come together. We have to do just like, you know, Esther did. You know, she called the people together. She called them together, you know, and they got together. You know, in the book of Isaiah, talk about how they got together. You know, when we come together and we open our mouth and we make our plea and we plead our cases to the senators and to the governors and to, you know, just whoever's in charge. I mean, you know, principals and teachers. And when we just really come together and we can speak out and remind the people that we cannot afford to not teach our children truth. We cannot, you know, at any cost, no matter what it costs, we have to. You know, we have to really stand for truth, and we have to teach them truth, because we do have children now. Children are going to school shooting each other. They're going, you know, we have so many problems with our children, you know, and so truth is what's going to set them free. You know, the scripture says you should know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So if we put truth into them, if we teach them truth, whether, you know, at church, at home, at, you know, at school. Yeah, you know, when we do that in our colleges, and I mean, you know what the colleges are. I mean, the enemy really are after our college students right now. And so, you know, this word must go into those places, go in. And so in order for this to happen, we got to come together. We got to be a body, a band of angels, that we're going to go in and we're going to introduce truth. So we're going to now it's not actually introducing. It is implementing. It is bringing back truth, you know. And so, yeah, Diane, I mean, I'm excited. And Mark, I love what you're going to be doing, going into the communities. I was talking to somebody yesterday about that. You know, we need to go out and mingle with the people in our community and talk to them and just, you know, say a word of prayer with them. And you know, a lot of these people, I'm learning, Mark, and when I'm having conversations, they were like me. They didn't know. A lot of things, they just didn't know was happening, going on, you know? They just didn't know. Because we're so used to our country being free. We're so used to everything good and everything, you know. But a lot of people don't realize how bad things are right now. So we have to remind the people. We have to wake them up. And I think going into the communities, you know, having the podcast like this and, you know, every avenue that we can have, every door that God opens for us, we should really walk in those doors, because It is so needed. There's not, you know, Diana, you know, I've heard preachers for years and years say, we got too many churches. We, you know, it's a church on every corner, and we shouldn't have churches on every corner. But I'm going to be honest with you. I read a scripture yesterday where God said we are a nation of priests. We are a nation of priests. There should be a preacher on every corner. We should be at, if you could have a gas station on every corner, if you could have 5 or 6 Walmarts in one city, if you could have grocery stores on every corner, the word of God should be going forth on every corner. That's the way I see it, because we got, the word is so needful. It is definitely needful, and it's lacking, and we got to put the word back into our communities, into our churches, into our schools. It has to be everywhere. You know, it was in the White House in our forefathers' time. They prayed. You know, they came together and had prayer. They had church. I mean, there was records where they had church in the White House. Can you imagine that? You were literally in church, and they're preaching. They're preaching, and they're singing songs of Zion, and they're ministering the word of God, and they're, you know, just people are being blessed right in the White House, you know. So, you know, these are things that God says in Deuteronomy. He says, I want you to remind the people. He says, you tell them to do this at home, when they, you know, everywhere you go. He says, on the doorpost, everywhere, the word should be. They don't want the word in the courthouse. They don't want the word, you know, in the capitals. But the word should be in the capitals. It should be there, because that's the core foundation of our nation. Amen. I didn't mean to start preaching here, but.
Yes, you did.
Oh, praise God. I just love the Lord, and I encourage people, I encourage those who are listening tonight to stay prayed up and to remember,
yes,
to, you know, just stay prayed up and remember to come together. Every time you hear of a meeting, if somebody having a meeting, especially when it's concerning our children, we should really try to attend those meetings, you know, and seeing what we can do to come together, you know, to really,
yes,
give our children what we had. Because when I went to school, Diana, I mean, we had assembly every Friday. We would go in. They would literally stop class and everybody go into the assembly, and the Bible lady, that's what we called it, the Bible lady be here Friday. You know, we were excited about that. And, you know, and they would teach the word of God to the children.
Wow.
Yeah.
We've come a long way. Well, we have, just before we close, I ask God for a word. God is so good. The Holy Spirit leads us. And I am right now in Zechariah chapter 10, Israel and Judah are lost sheep. And it's kind of in 10:4. It says, Zechariah's prophecy, out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow. Huh. You know, the battle bow. Oh, my goodness.
Ooh,
he,
yeah.
Christ is our cornerstone, a bow,
yeah,
that wins the battle, and a ruler who was a man of action. Oh, this Messiah would be strong, stable, victorious, and trustworthy in all the answer. Oh, my goodness. You know, that is it. And so, listeners, you know, we're really not trying to reinvent the wheel. We can't. The foundation had been laid in this great nation. Mothers and fathers that came here began their adventure with God on their knees in prayer. They wouldn't even get off the Mayflower until they had this covenant, the Mayflower Compact. And they wanted to give glory to God because they saw they had need of him. They were humble, and they were bringing their children into this great land. They wanted something better for their children. So if you're a mother, father, grandparent, we know you're wanting something better for your children. Nothing new under the sun. The founding fathers did too. That's what made America great. We've got to be bold. We've got to remember what they did. And the first thing they did was go to God in prayer. They knew they had need of him, because without him, how could they survive? But instead, because of their humble petition, God made them one of the greatest nation on earth. Now, the enemy wants to lie to us and, you know, really get us to the logical conclusion that we have no need of God. That's not necessary. We can fix the problem. There's so many ways we can fix the problem. It's not through God. But we do need God. That is the basis of the fix. Without Him, we can't do it. We need His wisdom. So I hope that after you've heard all three of us, that you got that from all of us, that we have need of God, and we pray that you will pray as we pray. That's the most important thing you can do for your children in this fight. Because God said, ask Him for wisdom. That's in Proverbs 1, I think. Very first Proverbs is to ask Him for wisdom. That is really the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. And so we come and we're going to close with prayer, but just want to encourage you to please go to hopeinc.tv. Hopeinc.tv is, it's hope, it says, help open path to excellence. We know that you as parents want excellent things for your children. You're very disappointed probably because you're seeing instead that the children comes home so stressed, so unhappy, that sometimes you don't even recognize who they are anymore. So we want to go back to that. We want to help open that path of excellence, because that's what this nation was founded on. That's what the founding fathers intended for their posterity. And that's why the brave people that was on that Mayflower, they braved that ocean, the seas, because they wanted excellence for their children. So please go to hopeinc.tv and look at that. Understand the latest news. Understand the problems with today's education. There's a Flipboard magazine that you could look to your heart's content about all the things that have been done in the past as to how we got here. It's got old articles that can help tie in if you're new to this, or if you're a teacher that have been programmed to think that, you know, all this about Common Core being bad is just a conspiracy theory. Your gut instinct tells you something's wrong. When children are so unhappy, when parents are so unhappy, because parents will tell you, if it was good, they would be your best friends. They would be your best helpers. So why are parents so angry about this Common Core? So we can do something about it. For us to really just sit there and do nothing, I think is sin, because they're coming after that child. They're hoping you're asleep. They're hoping you don't care. They're hoping you're too busy, because they'll just, the devil will just laugh his way, just sucking these children in down to hell. You know, if you're wondering why your boy has turned out to be so rebellious, ask him. There's so much stuff that they're reading now where rebellion is being inspired, where disrespect is being inspired, where they're teaching them how to argue. That's one of the things my friend had told us in the very beginning. This curriculum is going to make kids very easily manipulated and easily triggered. And that's why you're seeing a lot more of the harm. So we need parents to know what's going on. Go to hopeinc.tv and help us share these podcasts. We're going to try to have these weekly. We'll try to have more. And listen to the video of Joan Landis that was done by Mark, produced by Mark. It's the public school harm. That ought to touch you. We can do something about it, but it involves God. Without God, we can do nothing. So with that in mind, I'm going to ask our friend Mark Prazak to close us in prayer. Mark, would you mind?
I sure will. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, we just come before you striving and yearning for your truth. Father, we are waging a battle, and your word tells us that the battle we wage is not here on earth, but rather in principalities, Father, in the spiritual realm. But Father, we're stuck down here. And Father, we try, and we think of ideas, and we make plans, and we believe in them. But Father, our plans are foolishness to you. Father, I just want to acknowledge my dependence upon you, Father. Father, I need you. Father, our schools need you. Father, our parents need you. Our communities need you. And, oh God, our nation needs you. Father, we don't have the answers. Father, may we realize that it is only through your truth and through your sovereign power, Father, that we may live victoriously. We don't have to be stuck in the mud. We don't have to be in strife. We don't have to be angry. We don't have to be in despair. But, Father, we can walk victoriously in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us.
Yes.
God, we're not worth it. Father, I do not understand why you would have your Son die for me. I'm not worth it. But Father, your love is much larger than I can understand. It is beyond anybody's understanding. God, give us more of that love in our own hearts. So Father, when we don't understand, may your love radiate from us. We don't need to understand, God. We need to know you. We need to abide in you. Father, we need to be running towards you at a time when a nation and a culture and our families and, Father, forgive us, sometimes even our church leadership is straying from you. God, I pray for our churches. God, I pray for the leadership in our churches. God, I pray for our families. God, we're reaping a bitter harvest of the seed of sin that we sowed generation after generation after generation, and we wonder why we are in the mess we're in. Father, forgive us. Father, withhold your judgment just a little while longer, Father, that we might once again become one nation under God. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Mary. And listeners, we hope that you'll share this broadcast. And may the Lord bless you and your family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.